Two new films centered on men who carry the weight of past loss were released on streaming services this week. One a beautifully shot Western set in Montana a century ago, the other a modern Northwestern set in Portland, Oregon. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. Netflix continues its rollout of prestige films with Jane Campion's Western, The Power of the Dog, and Hulu launched the latest Nicolas Cage project, Pig. Joining me to discuss both films, I'm happy to have back on the program frequent On Film contributor Carlos De La Torre. Good morning, Carlos.
Good morning. Thank you for having me, Chuck. Always
so
a pleasure.
Great to see you in person,
yes,
too.
Yes, yes.
Fantastic. So, two big movies rolled out this week just in the last few days. Why don't you kick us off with The Power of the Dog?
Absolutely. Well, you know, as you mentioned, Jane Campion's adaptation of the 1967 novel of the same name, written by Thomas Savage. Set in 1925 Montana, I mean, this film tackles the story of two ranch owner brothers, Phil and George Burbank, as they individually explore the feeling of loneliness in their rancher lifestyle, the strong male archetype, as you say, and versus the longing of companionship and the change of their family dynamic through that. So the film stars Benedict Cumberbatch, Jesse Plemons as the brothers, but also has a plethora of supporting actors, people like Kirsten Dunst, Cody Smith McPhee, which did terrific, mm-hmm. and even Thomasin McKenzie, who's gotten a little more prestige through Last Night in Soho, and of course Jojo Rabbit. She plays a small role in this dramatic Western. Very compelling story that really poses this question, who's right in the situation, and exploring, of course, the sexual awakening kind of in a subtle manner through a lot of these characters. I thought this film had a lot to say.
I'm glad you used the word longing, because to me that's the one word that sticks after watching the whole film through. But I have to say, this is one of those amazing films that moment by moment you're not quite sure what kind of movie you're watching.
Right.
It's not until really the final reel of the film that Campion kind of brings into focus just what it is, what story we're supposed to be following here. And it's a mesmerizing technique to just go through the lives of these brother ranchers, mm-hmm. isolated in their Montana giant ranch.
Yeah.
One of them's just married Kirsten Dunst, who's trying to integrate into this this ranch culture. And in between these two very tight brothers,
mm-hmm.
and Benedict Cumberbatch is having a really difficult time,
yeah.
With her presence. And people may have read the stories about the actors and how they prepared, but Campion never has Cumberbatch or Dunst confront one another.
Right.
They sort of circle each other. They're on the edge of each other's periphery.
Oh, yeah.
And there's just such a tone of menace from the beginning that you're not quite sure at any moment something bad is going to happen.
Right.
And it never quite does.
It keeps you on the edge. It definitely keeps you on the edge.
Fascinating.
And I think that these characters were not only on the page needing to be dynamic on the script, I'm sure, but to cast these actors was the best thing it had going for it for the length of the film, you know, about 2 hours and change, and to be able to tell that type of story within that time frame, I think was terrific. And as you say, you're waiting for something. You're waiting for something this entire time. But at the same time, you want to empathize with both characters, with what each of them is going mm-hmm. through. And of course, the loss that Benedict Cumberbatch's character, this is what he's bringing up. It's been the 25th or the 30th anniversary of the death of one of his closest companions, and now he's seeing his brother transition,
yeah.
as well. It's challenging.
And this man you're talking about from his past, which all we see are plaques or his name,
right.
is mentioned over and over, this Bronco Henry,
right.
who taught the boys everything they knew mm-hmm. about ranching, and certainly Phil, Benedict Cumberbatch's character, is someone who just can't seem to let go of that memory.
Right.
And you're not sure why right up until the very
the final
end.
Act, yeah.
It feels at times like a thriller, but it also just plays out in its own time, and
mm-hmm.
you just kind of luxuriate in this amazing wilderness that they're ranching in, which is New Zealand,
right?
Standing in for Montana.
Yeah.
And I have to say something about you probably noticed the cinematography by Ari Wegner. She does an amazing job at capturing these landscapes.
Yeah.
It's so painterly. And Campion's films are usually amazing to look at.
Right.
They're just beautiful, every scene. And the way the light is almost a physical element in her films, it just falls on the characters,
yeah.
softly. And
every frame of this film has purpose. It,
yeah.
it has intention, and the cinematography really,
that.
Really paints that. Absolutely.
I'm glad you said every frame has purpose, because that is one of the marks of Campion. What makes her a master storyteller
mm-hmm.
is, if you are someone who has to follow a story through dialogue, this film
right.
you will never figure out. It's the combination of performance and dialogue and cinematography and editing and what is shown in the scene and the details of that scene that all combine. You need all of those details to figure out the
story.
It's
not an easy task in the slightest. And Jane Campion takes her time to tell a story. Take 3, 4, 5 years to prep the film, but with good purpose, with a good reason.
I love her sleight of hand, too, because, like I said, from the beginning, you have a sense of menace from Cumberbatch, but you're not quite sure where that comes from, what it's directed at. There's just a bit foreboding throughout. And yet, when something finally does happen, and we don't want to give anything away, but you realize that she's planted the source of what's going to happen right in front of us from the very beginning. And we've been sidetracked because of all the wonderful performances around this little detail.
A film magician at her best, absolutely.
And the restraint, too. I think we are in Oscar season. This is award season, so all of a sudden we're getting all these films that don't have to spoon-feed you information and story. And this is another one of those great films where there's incredible restraint throughout. It really parcels out its tiny details slowly and lets you just sit with them.
I think it's safe to say that we've been waiting for these films for a couple years.
For 2 years.
Yeah.
Yep, they've all been backed up. So moving on, the new film Pig, out this week on Hulu, like The Power of the Dog, finds its power in restraint. And restraint is not usually a word I associate with the acting style of Nicolas Cage. Yet in this new feature by writer-director Michael Sarnowski, Cage casts off his reputation as an actor who can ramp up to dizzying heights of unboundedness, here instead rooting into an internal world of grief and mystery. He's mesmerizing in his intense quiet and slowness as a truffle-hunting hermit who's left this world for the Oregon forest, his only companion a small pig. One evening, thieves steal the pig and beat Cage's character Rob, unconscious with a pipe. The event sets off Rob's re-entry into an urban world and modern society, walking out of the woods and into Portland in search of his pig and perhaps something more. That's the simple setup to the film, but as Rob wanders the streets and alleys of Portland, incongruous in his filthy clothes and bloodied face, it slowly dawns that Rob has walked these streets before. Cage pulls us in with the smallest hints of recognition, and it's the mystery of Rob's connection to this place that will keep you riveted and surprised by where the story will lead. The film becomes not just a story of a stolen pig, but rather how tragedy can steal one's connection to life. Little by little, we learn the reasons for Rob's withdrawal from society, and in several remarkable scenes, he pours out wisdom and grace in surprising defiance of our expectations, which is part of the film's power and the assuredness of its writer-director. They know what we expect of Cage and never give it to us. Cage, who in recent years has anchored numerous low-budget films by directors who wish to exploit his unique ability to portray characters unhinged by tragedy or circumstance, has flirted with making himself a parody of on-screen instability. But with Pig, a role that he uses to literally do the opposite of what we have come to expect, Nicolas Cage reminds us he's always been a great actor. Less is so much more in Pig, and Cage just might find himself on the short list of some acting awards this season. I love this film.
My goodness, I haven't seen a directorial debut this good since maybe Whiplash. I mean, this really impressed me. Michael Sarnowski, who's really a newcomer in its nature, and Vanessa Block, who co-wrote the script. I mean, this was fantastic. And I had been hearing the buzz of Nicolas Cage's performance for quite some time now about this film. And I was like, okay, we'll wait and see. And boy, did we wait and see. I mean, this was fantastic performance. Yeah.
Yeah. And probably like me, but just from the setup, you know, sort of outsider, pet gets kidnapped.
Right.
It seems like the perfect setup for a John Wick. You're just waiting for Cage to be revealed to be, you know, on the lam from the CIA or something.
Right,
and he goes to town and levels Portland to get his pig back. None of that happens.
No.
And there is so much grace in this film. And I don't know about you, but I got this sense by the end that there is a spiritual dimension to this character in this film, the way that Cage approaches it. You know, he absorbs a lot of the worst of what's around him, and he bears it, and he dispenses not revenge or kind, but he dispenses wisdom and grace, and particularly this unusual scene with Adam Arkin towards the end.
Oh man, I mean, I hadn't seen either of those actors, Nicolas Cage and Arkin. I mean, and in a role like this in quite some time, but I think that's the riveting portrayal of Nicolas Cage, is you expect him to be completely unhinged, but rather he keeps his calm, and with good reason. He knows exactly what he's doing in each of these sequences. And, you know, the story is absolutely captivating because of that. We all expect this to be about the pig in some John Wick capacity. I was thinking to myself the exact same thing. This is the indie John Wick,
right. The
taking away the studio elements, right? Yeah. But with a much better story, much more compelling characters. And Alex Wolff, quite frankly, has been somebody I've loved to watch in the past few years. Him and his brother, Nat Wolff, as well. They're both tremendous actors. You know, Alex Wolff in the past few years has impressed, especially films like Hereditary. But this particular film, his performance was something different, which I thoroughly enjoyed.
I think one of the surprising places this goes, and like The Power of the Dog, I could not tell scene by scene what comes next,
yeah.
Which is another beauty of coming across films like this. When you watch as many films as you and I do, it sometimes can become rote to, yeah. Know, okay, I know exactly what they're setting up. I know where this is going to end. You never know that with Pig or with The Power of the Dog.
I think the mafia tropes that we were expecting in Pig totally was flipped on its head with this the food industry.
It's sort of rooted in this hipster foodie community in Portland that is not your normal backdrop for
not in the slightest though
this kind of subject matter. And even Adam Arkin, who plays kind of the godfather of truffles or of farm-to-table, you know, provisions in Portland, it's just fascinating. But again, Cage just elevates everything he does, and he's using the most minimal of actions and performance techniques, completely different from what we're used to seeing him.
I think Nicolas Cage is wondering, or everybody's wondering, what happened to Nicolas Cage, and Nicolas Cage is saying, I've always been here. You just haven't been paying attention. And now hopefully you do a little more through Pig.
It'll be fascinating to see what choices come next, because he has made some bad choices,
frankly,
the last few years. But part of those bad choices, you know, every once in a while you get like a Mandy.
Right, exactly.
Something where he is taking, he's comfortable enough in his own skin to let these young up-and-coming directors play with all the talent he has.
A lot of my friends have been really interested in Color Out of Space. And I mean, just the, like you say, these kind of diamonds in the rough films that come out of there, I think has been very fascinating. This one over all of them, though, the Oscar buzz is real. And I truly hope he gets some type of at least nomination, because this was terrific.
Me too. It's so great to catch up with you. I always love talking film with you. You're a very astute watcher, and I appreciate you coming in to the actual studio this week.
Great to be back in here. Thank you, Chuck.
I've been discussing the new films, The Power of the Dog on Netflix and the new Nicolas Cage offering, Pig, on Hulu with frequent On Film contributor Carlos De La Torre. Both films are highly recommended. A final program note, I'll be at the Alamo Drafthouse this evening at 6 p.m. to introduce and present the 1954 holiday classic White Christmas. The Technicolor musical is filled with tunes from the Irving Berlin songbook and stars Bing Crosby, Danny Kaye, and Rosemary Clooney. Tickets are available at Alamo Drafthouse at Montecillo. Thanks to Sam Cassiano for engineering and editing today's show. An archive of past programs is available online at ktep.org. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.